Okay, thanks again for joining us. It's Philippa here with the Family Architect, Parenting by Design Rather Than by Default. And I have Nick Taylor with me and her beautiful little baby, George. And this is part two. So if you are joining us for this section, I really encourage you to go back and listen to part one, where Nick talks about her journey to get to this space of birthing George at home. It's a really powerful story. And if you're looking to claim your power, Nick's story is really one that you should listen to. So we're going to dive into the second part here now. So you chose to go deeper after the system birth. So after two babies in the hospital, what did that sort of deeper layer of healing look like for you? So you had done... You know, you'd done the trauma work, you had these two babies. What was there a piece of you that just needed to, because you talked in the last section about having fear and those sorts of things. What was that piece that just had you go that little bit deeper so that you could have your baby up?
I think it was just trusting myself and letting go. So dealing with the trauma of what had happened in my last two births, and how they unfolded and how they made me feel, and accepting that. That's, I couldn't change those. They were those births for those babies. And I grew from each of them. And I wanted to make that the focus, was that I've learned something from each time. And I knew I wanted something different. So I needed to trust that I could have that. And I needed to find the people that would hold space for me, and I needed the information that would make me feel confident in choosing that, because I always thought home birth was a bit woo-woo, and I was like, nah, the hospital's there just in case. And I remember, you know, did the hypnobirthing because essentially I wanted to give birth and then be in a hospital just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do it by myself. I knew I could do it by myself. I felt confident and informed and empowered as a woman that I knew I could birth my babies, but the hospital was that safeguard just in case. And I needed to move past that just in case. And it was coming to the fact that I had two successful births. My traumas, or my, not going to plan parts, was the tears, which is essentially the after part of birth, or what my postpartum journey looked like. It wasn't necessarily the births as such. Like, I needed an episiotomy so that I wouldn't tear further, not because the baby was stuck. Mm. So it was nothing like that. So I think for me, I was like, you can tear at home and still have a baby safely. You know, my body did what it was supposed to do to get both of those babies out. And, you know, the just in case was having a trained registered midwife at birth. I wasn't a fan of free birth. I needed that safeguard of having someone there that could help me if I needed to, that was more knowledgeable and that could foresee anything happening. So that was how I came to, you know, what I wanted from a midwife. And I looked at lots of things about what that also looked like, because I had seen a few things about how some people felt like their midwives, you know, were too hands-on even at home, and that could still happen. And it was about finding the person that fit for you, that could work for you.
Mm.
And I looked at that and was like, that's what I need. That's what I'm seeking. So, you know, I did a lot of research. I watched a lot of reels and lots of different people's birth stories, and thought, I don't want my midwife to do that. I don't want my midwife to do that. And kind of weeded out the things like what it would look like and feel like for me. And it was about, I was the center. I was in control in the aspect that it was my birth, not their birth. And I was number 65, kind of thing. It was about finding someone that could just be there. And if I needed them, I could say, something's not right. Come and look, touch me, do whatever. I need you.
Mm.
But also the person that could be there that was going to be like, Nick, we need to change this, or something's not right, I need to help you, or can I have a look, or can I, whatever it was. So that fine line of that, they were going to be there to intervene if necessary to make sure that baby and I were safe, but also there for me that I could ask them to come into that space, if that makes sense.
It's about finding the person with the philosophy that aligns with yours so that you know by default they only want to do the thing you need them to do.
Yeah.
They're not going to interfere for the sake of it because their philosophy is different to yours.
Yeah.
And that it actually safeguards your birth the best if you find someone who's aligned with you.
Yeah.
The unfortunate situation that a lot of women face is that they go to a care provider and they get what you've also experienced, which is like that bait and switch, right? Like they'll tell you all the right things and then towards the end of the birth or the end of the pregnancy, they start to switch things out and start installing doubt.
And even like, we should do this, we should do that. Mm. And I found when we had picked our midwife, I had to really think about what I wanted. She made me question myself in a good way, in that, what do you need from me?
Mm.
And I was like, oh, this is different.
Mm.
You know, I'd been so used to being told what a person provides. And I kind of bring it back to picking an MC for our wedding.
Yeah.
And I remember hubby and I going around and my wedding's this and my wedding's this and we do this and what I do this and me.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not lightning. And, you know, the celebrant we chose was, we approached her and she's like, yeah, I'm this, I'm that. We go, tell me a story.
Yeah.
And she didn't try and sell herself. She said, oh, there's a card there if you'd like to take one. And she made us feel like we were the center.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's who we want. And that's how we found our midwife as well, is that, you know, we led. And she obviously had been at many births. And I could say, I don't know, what do you usually do? Like, what is your philosophy? And she would tell me what her philosophy was.
Mm-hmm.
And if that aligned with me, great. If not, I was like, actually, I'd rather this. And she was like, great. There was no judgment. There was no coercion into thinking or feeling a certain way to feel safe with her. Like, there was no, we should do this or we should do that. Or I don't know. We had the conversations about an emergency and what could happen. And she gave me examples of what could happen, not I ring an ambulance when this happens, or I do this, or I do that, or I feel safe. I feel safer to make these decisions. It was none of that.
Mm.
It was like, when you say the word hospital, that's what's going to happen because that's your intuition. Your intuition is telling you something's not right and you need a hospital, and that's what we're going to do. So don't use that word lightly. And I was like, okay, good to know. She said, you can call it any other thing. You can say that place. You can, any other word, but if you say, I want to go to hospital or mention the word hospital, we're going to take that because that is your body and your intuition telling you that's what you need to do.
Mm. I was like, wow.
So, yeah, that was a big thing, finding that person that challenged me and my beliefs and my thoughts to really reclaim my power and be like, I want this. This is what I need from you.
Mm.
I'm allowed to ask you to support me in this way because I trust that you're going to support me in that way and that we're not going to get to, you know, 38 weeks and you go, oh, but we're going to do this. And, you know, I think we should go to the hospital here, or I think we should I didn't feel like that was coming.
Mm.
Like there was none of that throughout that I thought, oh, I remember this is where it changes.
Yeah.
It was just so different. Yeah, just in the feeling of how each step, like where we got to each step when we talked about what had happened before and what I wanted and why. And, yeah, questioning like, okay, well, what is it you're looking for? What do you need? What do you want? Like it was just so different to be about me as a person. I was Nick. I wasn't just a birthing mum in October.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like I wasn't a number. I wasn't a patient. I was a person.
Yeah. I love that. So what did you uncover in the second birth that you hadn't been ready to see before?
it was probably more like after birth that I don't know, maybe I didn't plan all the way through. Like with Bonnie, I planned all the way through to after, you know, going home, and I was going to go for a walk at week one and do this at week two and back in the gym at week six. Like I had a whole plan, because everyone told me to plan for postpartum, to plan for breastfeeding, not just plan for the birth. So I had all of this of what it should look like. And then obviously it didn't end up being like that. And that was, you know, I had to grieve that and move forward. So the second one, I was like a little bit more loosely, I'm going to focus on healing at the end of birth kind of thing. And that's when it was like, I'll have a night in hospital and I'll take it easy. And I didn't think about giving myself space to process
the birth.
And I think I found it hard because of what everyone was saying. Everyone was so proud of me and everyone was so in awe of what I'd just done that I felt like I should be as well. I shouldn't have these feelings.
Mm.
So I think that's when I looked for, I needed that space to do that, to process that after having the baby, and that window after having the baby, rather than making it weeks after, or, you know, shutting it down to then process it later and then, you know, creating trauma in that way. Mm-hmm. So it was more about realizing that I needed space to process and slowing things down and needing time to just live in it and be present in it and feel what I felt, not what other people felt. Like everyone else felt proud and happy, and I felt I should have been feeling that, but I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And I think that confused me a bit.
Mm.
So it was more about, yeah, giving myself space to sit with and process what had happened and feel what I needed to feel and be okay to express those feelings to people. Like, I was proud of what I did, don't get me wrong, but I had a lot of other feelings towards it as well.
Well, birth doesn't end with the baby coming up, right? Like, birth has so, like, it's such a big, it's all the postnatal stuff. It's that, you know, and matrescence isn't just becoming a mother for the first time. You know, you're becoming a mother for a second time, and then you're adding a third kid, and all of those things are big.
Yeah.
You know, going from one to two is big. Going from two to three is big. Going from three to four is just a lot more washing and someone's always hungry. But it's a journey, and you do need time and support to be able to process that. And if any part of that hasn't been treated with love and respect and compassion and support, then it means you have a lot more work to do to recalibrate and to process how you feel about it and what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Mm. So what shifted in your nervous system, do you think, that made a sovereign birth feel possible?
That it was okay to give myself space and ask for that support.
Mm.
And that was what I needed. That I needed to surround myself with people that could give me and hold space for me.
Mm.
And not rush me in, and not like put their feelings on me, like tell me how I should feel, or influence the way I should feel after that. Like, obviously it's hard for people because they are so proud and excited, and I get that, but that I needed to be okay with processing and feeling the way I felt as well.
Mm.
So I think that's something I wanted for the third time, was that letting myself know it was okay to feel however I wanted to feel. If it didn't feel, you know, this like ecstatic thing, or, you know, if I was exhausted and just wanted to go to bed, that was okay as well. I could feel exhausted. I could feel like I wanted to retreat. I could let go of what others needed from me, or what I thought they needed from me. Okay. I felt like they needed me to feel proud, and they needed me to feel empowered and, proud of what I'd done.
Mm.
And that's what they had needed, not what I needed. So I think that's why home birth in particular is seen as a selfish act, because it's about you and what you want for your baby. And you know, the outside in is, you know, that you are not thinking about your baby or thinking about your, you know, your other children, because that's something you could die and, you know, you've got to let go of the outside thoughts and feelings towards that. And because it is about you, and you set the tone, I think, too, for your family, to your birth partners and, you know, your kids. And I think you have to be okay and have to give yourself space to feel those feels and go through those emotions and show your family how you've dealt with that and how you're moving with that and what you need, so that you can all move forward and you can all do what you need to do to transition from having that child.
Absolutely. My perimenopausal brain has just let something fall off the plate. But something you said there, I thought was really important. No, I remember what it was now. See, it's just a thing that happens now. What I noticed in you from working with you initially to seeing you, you know, at 37 weeks in the park, and for me, there was a like an underlying calmness, a tone of calm. It was like your nervous system was regulated, and when you first came to see me, it was about crossing off all the, you know, crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's, doing all the things, which got you to where you were.
Tell the drama, move on.
Right? Like it was like a duck, you know, in feet underwater, like do, 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 do. And then, but your nervous system was dysregulated, right? Like there was all this stuff. And what I saw and felt when I was in your presence was just that there was a calm now. It felt like it wasn't about proving anything. It wasn't about crossing off a tick list or anything else. It was just, I'm doing this thing. Oh. And there was a calmness in your nervous system.
Yeah.
That for me felt like you were there. Mm-hmm. You'd done what you needed to do. And it was why when you sent me pictures of the birth and stuff afterwards, and I was not surprised at all that it had gone smoothly and been beautiful, because it just felt to me like there was this calm in your nervous system. Yeah. And a calm nervous system, right? When your ANS, your autonomic nervous system, is calm, it can respond to stress, but it's not sitting in a place of constant stress,
yep,
which means you can adapt and you can respond or react depending on what needs to happen. And that felt to me like where you were. Did you feel that?
I think and like I owned that too. Like I remember with the hypnobirthing stuff, she'd said to us to say, when people would dump their trauma birth on the thank you, I don't want to hear that, I'm hypnobirthing. Yeah. And I remember people being like, you'll beg for the epidural, and like, I weren't calling to like, no, come back and tell me, because I was like this spreadsheet research Nazi that, you know, everything had a place, everything, you know, I was going to have X amount of babies by this age, and I was such a planned person that they were like, you know, you'll fall off your perch kind of thing.
Mm.
And I kind of got to the place with the home birth that I didn't care what you thought. I'm having my baby at home.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you think or feel. I had prepared for it to be whatever it was. Yes, I had like visualized the birth and put some things in place and done the research of what could happen and, you know, the pros and cons and the risks and benefits and all of that. I'd done all of that. I'd worked through it with my husband so that he felt confident and calm. I'd picked the right people to be in my birth space that were going to be there for me regardless of how it unfolded. And I think because I kind of got into that place that I could be calm and excited and just ready for it, like even waiting for him to come, it wasn't an anxious thing because I knew I had the continuity of care. I knew my midwife was going to be there regardless. Like, she had to be dying not to be there, kind of thing. Like, it was going to happen, and I'd done all I could do, I think, too. Mm. You know, it was going to happen however it was going to happen, because birth is so unpredictable and we know that. But I'd done everything I needed to do to accept whatever was going to happen and trust that I could do it however it looked. Like I could give birth to this baby safely at home and just, yeah, picking the right people, doing all the research, letting go of expectations as well was a big thing. We talked a bit with the home birth circle about pivoting. And I remember saying, I was like, I'm an anti-pivoter, and everyone laughed. And I was like, I was the kid that had up on the wall at what age I was going to get married, what age I was going to have kids. You know, it was like, and I was ticking things off. I was going to be 16 and blah, blah, months and have my license, tick. I was going to buy a car, you know, December of this year, tick. Like it, that was my, that's how I did life. And obviously things changed and things didn't happen. And I had to just say that my goals were to get married and have children, that there was no time limit on that. You know, my birth was going to look like this, but then it didn't look like that. So I had to adapt and work with that to work through things. So, yeah, kind of accepting that I had an idea of what I wanted the birth to look like and feel like, but that I would be okay if things had to change. Mm-hmm. I could trust whatever the universe was going to throw at me, I could handle. And that I had the right team to help me handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the biggest thing, was that letting go of the checklist and the expectation of what it should be and what it should look like and just letting it be. Like, I think that was the biggest thing for me, to get to that level of calm and acceptance and just be so ready.
Mm, I love that. All right. So the moment has arrived, people. We're going to let it tell us. I think, yeah, well, I'm just going to let you have at it now. Tell us about George's birth and yeah, what happened? What were the moments in there that you really knew that did this birth reflect the healing that you'd done? Like, and tell us how. Give us your story.
So even like waiting for him to come, I was excited. I was, we'd done like all the predictions of who thought which day he'd come on, and we didn't know it was a boy. We were waiting to find out, and I was convinced I was having a girl, and so was Bond and most of my family. But I wasn't hung up on, like, I was like, yeah, I reckon I'll go like 40-ish weeks. Like, I'm not an early person. Like, my first was 40 and 4. My second was 40 and 1. You know, I reckon around there. But, you know, if it goes into this month, that's okay. So I had a little bit of worry about going early, because I was like, oh, what a plan to like go to full term or over, just my life gonna go early. And it was more around hubby's leave and making sure financially we were okay. So I was like, right, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling dysregulated right now, what do I need to do? So I ran the numbers, we changed this and did that and put this leave and that leave, and I changed my leave on this end, we'll be fine. And once I did that and worked through it, I was okay. So anything that popped up, I feel like I was able to identify it faster and work through it. And then was like, cool, I'm done. Then it was things like, Maddie had a project on that he had to do. So he's like, you need to keep going. And I was like, baby will come when baby comes. Like, I can't, you know, you just have to deal with that. And he's like, oh, I know. Ha, ha, ha. But then it was like other people that were saying certain dates weren't okay because they had things on, or, and that got in my head a bit too. And I was like, frustrated that I had to work around other people. I was like, no, I don't have the baby when I have the baby. If you're not there, too bad. Mm. You know, if you can't be there, too bad, so sad. So I kind of got through that as well. And it was the Monday of the week. So it was 38 and 2. And I had on and off inklings, and for about 4 hours I was like super uncomfortable and nothing was super regular. And I was like, okay, things are getting ready. I remember having this 4 days, 5 days, no, 4 days before Bonnie was born. maybe that's a similar thing. My body's telling me it's getting ready. And I was like, that makes sense because I'm almost 39. I'm two, sorry. So I was due then that weekend coming. And I was like, that makes sense. Like, my body's getting ready. This is good. And then the Tuesday, everything was fine. I was like, cool. Wednesday, I got curious and my next door neighbor was a midwife in training. So she was like a student midwife and whatever.
And I was like,
I'm curious because I've never had the cervical exam. I've never been checked on how far I am or anything like that. And curiosity got me. And I was like, and she'd said, do you want to check? And he's like, yeah, I kind of do. So I was like, okay, let's do that. So she checked me on the Wednesday. And I was like 2.5, she reckoned. She was like, oh, 2.5, 3, but let's just say 2.5. And we had the chat before of like, but we're going to be okay if you're not dilated, aren't we? I said, yep, I'm good. She's like, it's all good because you've got time. You're not due yet anyway. So if you're closed, we're not worried. We're not going to get upset. I said, no, I can do this. I'm good. I'm in a good place. So I had checked and I was like, oh, that's exciting. And then by the Thursday, I'd had like acupuncture Wednesday. I had my massage on Thursday. And she came around to do some release on my hips because it was a bit uncomfortable. And I was like, can we check again? She was like, yeah, okay. So we checked again and I was like 3, maybe 4, she thought. And I was like, some things are happening. Like, my body's doing its thing. That's exciting. And then by about 5 o'clock that night, I started having some tightenings and I was like, okay. Kind of left it, was on the phone to mum, was like, oh, that was a big one. But then nothing came after it. And I was like, maybe I'm just, things are happening or I've stirred things up because I've had a cervical exam. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, oopsie. And then by about, I think 7:30-ish, the kids were in bed and I got on the birth ball and I was having some long surges. So they weren't regular, but they were longer than a minute. I was like, they're really... really intense, but I was like, oh, something's starting to happen. Because with the other two, it kind of happened. They were 10 minutes apart from being woken up at 4 a.m. They were 10 minutes apart and then they got closer and closer. So I'd never really had that pre-early labor stuff. And I was like, but remember, all babies are different. All labors are different. You can't compare this. Everyone kept saying the third was the wild card. The birth could be hours. It could be days, you know, just be with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember messaging my mum and just giving her an update on where I was. And then we called the midwife just to give her an update, TENS machine on. And I kind of labored on and off. It wasn't super consistent, but it was, you know, happening regularly. So it wasn't like it'd be half an hour before something had happened. It was like 7 minutes and then it was 5 minutes and then it was 15 minutes. And so things were happening and things were progressing. Mum ended up coming over and like I was breathing through them and not talking, but I wasn't nauseous and I had been nauseous in my previous two labors and had the TENS on, which was really good. I love the TENS machine. And then so we decided to call Matt's mum because she was coming down to help with the kids, just in case I did go during the night, and she's an hour away. So we called everyone. Everyone kind of came. We were giving the midwife updates. They were the only ones that weren't there at this time. So I labored in the lounge room for a bit and staying hydrated. And then it kind of got to, I think, 11 o'clock-ish. And it'd been a while since I'd had like a decent surge. I'd had some niggles, like kind of all Braxton Hicks kind of thing. And I was and then Maddie went to lay down. So I went to the toilet and then everyone was kind of quiet and I was like, I'm just going to lay down too. I just need to rest. But then I was like, oh, but everyone's here. Like, mm-hmm. Do I keep going? And then I was like, no, everyone says early labor rest. So bugger it, just go to sleep. So I unplugged the TENS and laid down for a bit. And I slept until about 2 and I got woken up by quite a big surge. And I remember feeling panicked because I was like, God, here we go. Okay. Because it was the unknown still, because I'd not birthed at home before and I didn't know what to expect. I think it wasn't fear. It was excitement, but also that unsure as to what was going to unfold. How quick was this going to be? Was it going to be hours? Because I'd had, you know, the last 4 hours of things happening and then 2.5 hours of nothing. I was like, this is weird. So I had a surge, I went to the toilet, had another surge, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go wake mum up. So I went into the media room and I knelt down in front of mum and her eyes shot open. She's like, are you okay? And I said, I've just had two really big surges. And she's like, okay. And she just sat up and she's like, okay, we're good. We're okay. And I was like, but I've unplugged the tens. I need you to plug me back in. So then Case woke up and she plugged me back in. And I think I stood up for a bit and leant on mum and had some surges. And Maddie's mum woke up as well. She was on the other couch and she kind of came in. And I think Case went and woke Maddie up. She was like, do you want to go get Maddie? And I was like, yeah, probably should. Because I was like, oh, I'll make sure it's happening first before I wake him up because he's tired. He's been at work all day. Then we've had been up to 11. Let's just let him sleep for a bit. So I think he slept for about another half an hour after that. And then by 3 o'clock, we were calling the midwives. Like they were thinking, oh, maybe we need, because it was more bearing down kind of. I felt like baby was trying to move and they were really intense. But I remember thinking not intense enough. I was like, it's definitely labor, but it's not like it was. It's not, I'm not quite there. So I wasn't panicked that like the midwives weren't going to make it or anything like that. They all came by about 4 o'clock and then they started filling the bath because they thought, yeah, maybe we're happening. We woke Vaughn up at like 4:30 because we thought we wanted to give her a little bit of time to wake and be time to adjust before seeing it and whatever so that she wasn't cranky or anything like that. So she was woken up about 4:30. They were pretty intense. They were rolling pretty hard. I was standing because they were telling me to like lift my belly back to move baby back a bit so that the cervix would be in the right spot and things like that. And I remember them when they came in, even like everyone was calm. They put their stuff down. They said, g'day. There was no urgency in checking baby's heart rate or anything. It was more that supportive presence. It wasn't like a watching you or anything like that. I remember feeling, you know, supported in that way that she came and checked baby's heart rate and I smiled because I could hear baby was okay. And I was like, cool, we're good. And they filled the bath and I was like, I don't think it's time for the bath. I'm just not ready. And they're like, all good. It's fine. So I'm glad that it wasn't like, you know, you should hop in the bath. There was none of that. And I was like, oh, I'm not ready. And they're like, good, it's ready when you are. So, and they just kept heating it and keeping it okay. Yeah, giving me different positions. So I would just do stuff and Matt would come in and be like, we're going to do the jiggle or we're going to do this or we're going to do that. Or, so we did some different positions and I stood a lot more. They wanted me to stand up and try and use gravity to get him in a good spot. And then it must have been about 5:30. They were like spacing out more, but it was still that downward pressure. Like it was the surges were like, I felt like things were coming down and I was bearing down and breathing down into, you know, the bottom kind of thing. And so they were like, oh, maybe we should do some psoas release or do some stretches. We're going to lay in your bed and try and stretch things out. And that was really intense in the stretch because I kind of felt like he was still moving. So we probably did that for about 15-ish minutes. And then it was like, maybe get on your hands and knees a bit and sway and do this, do that. And then it started to fizzle out. And then it was 6 o'clock. Both kids were up. They were playing. Everyone was happy. And I was like, I haven't had anything in a while. Okay, this is weird. And I went out and they're like, come on, have something to eat. And I was like, this feels weird. Like I'm having breakfast now. It's all stopped again. And I was like, is this the third birth thing that they're talking about? This wild card, like it's going to take me days of this. And I remember I was confused. I felt confused and I felt a little bit like I'd wasted everyone's time, to be honest. That was my main thing because I'd gotten everyone up so early. Like my mum and Maddie's mum were there the night before and Case, like they'd slept on the couches. I was like, oh, have I like called too soon? Have I panicked and wanted everyone here super soon and then I've not needed them kind of thing? And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And they said to me, they're like, look, what we can do is check your cervix and see where Bubby is and it'll give us some information on where we're at. And I said, okay, let's do that. So they checked me and they're like, you're about 4 to 5, waters are intact, baby's heart sounds good. You look okay? How are you feeling? And I was like, I'm just tired more than anything. And I didn't feel scared that everything had stopped or worried. I was just super confused.
Mm.
I was like, what is happening? And they were like, oh, this could be your rest and be thankful. And I was like, okay, let's roll with that. And like having chats about baby's position. So he was in a weird spot, still kind of posterior and showing a weird part of his head. So they're like, he's not in the best position. So, you know, rest would be great, putting your leg up to give him space to turn. It could be that the sun's come up and your hormone shift has been like, nope, we need to be in that dark, calm space. We joked that we should have known I would never have a baby in the middle of the night, because the other two, I went into labor at 4:30 in the morning with Bond, just born by lunch. Robbie was 4 a.m. born by lunchtime as well. So they were like 12:35 and 12:17. So it was like, yeah, we should have known you weren't going to have this baby too, that kind of thing. So we laughed and that. And I also said, because they were like, look, if you're comfortable, we're going to go, because we don't want to be hanging around waiting for you, because then that puts that pressure on you that you want things to happen and you need things to happen. Maybe you just need to rest. I'll pop back this afternoon. I was like, oh, I have a chiro appointment this morning. They're like, go to that. That'd be great. And part of me felt like I didn't want to leave the house. I kind of was like, I just want to be in my bubble of safety of my own home. So I messaged my chiro and said, this is what's happening. I need to be adjusted. Can you come to the house? She's like, yeah, I can make it work. I'm back to back all day, but I can pop in at lunchtime. Does that work? And I was like, absolutely. I'd be so grateful. So they were like, okay, we're going to go. And they drained the pool because we're too worried about having the pool set up with the toddler, because he would definitely get in it. And I just didn't want that stress. I was like, nah, drain it. Like, we'll pay for the water. I don't care. So they drained it. They packed up. They did their thing. And just there was no, they didn't make me feel like I had wasted their time. They made me feel confident that everything was okay and everything was doing what it was supposed to do. And, you know, she said that. She was like, you know, baby's just moving into a good spot. They're doing that because we didn't know he. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Maybe this is what baby needs. Baby needs some space and time, and you just need to, but don't feel like you've wasted anyone's time. You've not. That's what we're here for. We all want to be here, all excited for you, all here for you. It's fine. And I was like, okay. And she was really good in checking in and was like, how are you actually feeling? And I was like, I'm just really confused. I don't feel disappointed, or I feel like I've wasted everyone's time. I do feel that. But I feel more confused that it's stop-start, because I felt like things were happening. I had that like bearing down sensation, like I was trying to breathe me down further. And but I also knew it wasn't time for the bath. So part of me knew it wasn't really go time, if that makes sense. And she's like, that's okay. That's sometimes what babies do. They just need to do a little bit of movement and then they give you a break. Like, let's roll with that. Let's have a break. Let's chill out. And the second midwife was like, oh, you might go into labor again tonight. When it goes dark again, your body might be like, okay, we've got that cozy, safe vibe. Let's go again. But they were like, just go about your day. Go and rest. Chill out. Enjoy your kid. Just go about your day. And I was like, okay. Went to bed for a bit. My chiro arrived and I saw her and I burst into tears. And she's like, I knew this was good. But I was like, I don't know what's going on. And she's like, it's okay. You're okay. Anyway, we went into the bedroom and she like adjusted my sacrum and stuff, and my left side was stuck. And she's like, that makes sense. But where baby's sitting, where baby needs to go, it's stuck. So the baby doesn't have the space right now. So she explained what she was doing and where she was and what she'd done so the baby could spin. And I was like, okay. And then she did, can't remember what it was called. It was like an emotional release thing. And she worked out that there was a time in my life. She was like, what's the problem? Is it that you're worried that you have to go to hospital? Like, what's the fear that's stuck here? And I was like, I just feel like I've wasted time. And she's like, okay. And she went back and found out that it was when I was 17 was the unresolved feeling I'd wasted someone's time. She's like, whose time did you waste? And I kind of got to the thing that I was like, my own, worried about what other people thought. And she's like, let it go. These people are here because they want to be here. They're here for you. They're here for this space, for you and this baby.
They want to be here.
They don't care. They'll get up again tomorrow morning if they have to. They're going to be here for you. Let that go. And I was like, okay. She's like, you didn't waste anyone's time.
You were in labor. You're having, regular labor period.
Let that go. And I was like, okay. So she did a few things and she went through with if you have to go to hospital, you're okay. And she did, I did affirmations. I'm okay if I birth at home. I'm okay to birth in a hospital. I'm okay to have this baby. I'm okay to have this rest time or pause time. And she did all that and then was like, just rest. And then messaged me, when you have this beautiful baby, you can do this and you're going to have this baby and you're going to be okay. However it unfolds, sit with that you're okay and you can do this. You need to let go for everything to keep going. And I was like, okay, cool. Lay down, rested, had my leg up most of the night. At 6 o'clock, Terry came back around, checked, and she's like, baby's moved. And I was like, hey. She's like, baby spun around, better position here. But don't be upset or worried if labor doesn't start again. Baby might be in a comfortable position now. They might stay there for a few days. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to clean the bathroom tomorrow. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's Saturday. Cool. Righto. Got a plan. Had some dinner. Maddie kind of passed out on the couch. The kids are watching a movie. I sat with them and rocked them to sleep and then took them to bed, put them to bed, and then woke Maddie up, put him to bed, and then went to bed and was like, right, we're just doing Saturday as normal. We're going to clean the house. It's fine. And then at 2 o'clock, I was woken up by a really intense surge. And I was like, good morning. 10 minutes later, I went again. And then I had another. So I went to the toilet and then I had another. It got to 2:30 and I thought, I'm going to time these. And then I had 3 more bang on 10 minutes. And I thought, holy crap, this is happening and it's happening fast. So I rang my midwife and said, I think it's happening. These are really intense. And I've had 6 in the last hour bang on 10 minutes. I started timing them from 2:30, but between 2 when I woke up, because I look at my phone and the time every time I wake up, I said I had 3 between 2 and 2:30. I started timing at 2:30. They're 10 minutes apart. They're really intense. I need you to come. She said, okay, no worries. I'm coming. Then from 3 o'clock till 3:30, they were between a minute and a half and 3.5 minutes. It was really, they would roll and then I'd get the 3 minute break and then it would go again. And I woke Matt up and I said, get up. It's time to go. I need you to fill the pool. I've rung the midwife. Get up. It's on. And he was like, okay. And he got up and he shot out of bed and he grabbed the stuff and he started doing his thing. I rang mom and said, she answered straight away. I said, it's time. It's really intense. I need you to come. She's like, okay, you're okay. And I had a couple of surges on the phone and hung up. Rang Maddie's mom because she's an hour away. And I was like, it's happening. I need you to come. She's like, okay, I'm coming. And I just hung up. Tried to ring Case next door. She didn't answer her phone. So I was like, Casey's not answering. You have to run next door. So Matt's rung next door, banged down her door, woke her up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I've seen him run back past the baby's room because that's where we were having the pool and everything set up. And I was on the floor, going through the surges. I got in to put the tens on before he started filling the pool. That's right. And I was on the floor next to him. I was like, they're really intense. They're happening really fast. And by 3:15, I rang the midwife back. And I was like, they're really intense. They're coming really fast. It's happening really fast. And she was like, you're okay. Just breathe. It's all good. You're okay. You've got this. Just breathe through it. And I was like, okay. Having these surges, she had a chat to Case about getting a nest ready. She said, I need you to listen really closely. I remember hearing this. She needs to birth this baby slowly. You need to remind her this baby has to come slowly. And then if you are not confident, you and Maddie aren't confident, you ring an ambulance. And then I'll just meet you there and I can take it from there. But have me on the phone, it's all good. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I don't have the pushing feeling yet. I don't have the heavy feeling. I'm okay. I'll wait. I can wait. I'm going to be there. It's fine. I'm going to wait for you. It's fine. I can hold this baby and I'm not going to have this baby without you. And my mum got there, I think it was about 3:30. And then I think the midwife got there about 3:50. And then by 4 o'clock, it was like, I want to be in the bath. And they're like, yep, get in. It's all good. And I remember the relief that I felt when I got in the bath. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And from being in the bath, every surge I had was a bearing down surge. I was breathing that baby down and I was like, holy hell, this is happening. The kids woke themselves up. Robbie woke up first and he was not a happy camper. He woke screaming and wanted dad. which was really hard for Maddie because I needed Maddie. Like, I needed to lean on him. So between Mum and Matt, I was leaning on one of them and like roaring and breathing really hard and moving through the surges and rocking and hanging off them essentially. And Maddie had hold of Robbie and was like, "It's all right, mate, you're okay," and trying to help me and hold me and do all the things. And his mum didn't arrive till like quarter past four. And then Bon was up by then, but she was happy just to come in and have a look. She was quite calm and easy, I suppose. But I just remember thinking, like, this is home birth. Like, you've got a kid screaming, you've got a kid that's just quietly come in to see what's going on. Like, I wasn't upset by the fact that he was cranky or that he needed Matt. I wasn't brought out of my zone or anything because I had done the hypnobirthing stuff. I played the tracks in the house while the kids were home. So I'd have a bath with the tracks on and I could hear them. Mm-hmm. And I taught myself to zone that out and just focus on my breathing and my affirmations. So I put my affirmations on and I was like, that's what I can do. Just focus on that. And I just focused on my breathing. And in between, I would laugh at the fact that my two-year-old was on the floor having a full-on meltdown because he wanted dad. And, you know, there was points in there where Mum was like, just let him come in and have Matt. And then Matt had said to his mum, "Nah, take him. I need you to just take him." So they took him and you could hear him screaming a bit, but I knew he was safe. We had Maddie's mum there to look after him and I knew she had that. And I was like, he's fine. He's just cranky. He's just in a mood. He's ready to be a middle child. It's okay. So, you know, looking around, I would open my eyes every now and again. And I saw Bon and Andrea sitting in the chair and she was just watching quietly. And Andrea was just holding Bon. And Bon came and held my hand at one point. And I just remember feeling safe and secure. Like, I could see the midwives every now and again. They were just there. They weren't in the space or in my face. They were just walking through the house, doing their thing. And I didn't feel watched either. And that was my big thing because I had such a big birth team. I kept saying to everyone, like, don't stand over me. Sit on the floor, sit around me. That's fine. But I don't want you left in the doorway watching. Just come in and sit down. Like, be with me or get out kind of thing. That's what I want. And that I didn't feel that. I just felt like everyone that was important was there. Everyone was there for me and this baby and this experience. And it felt hard and intense and fast, but it felt right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember feeling like this is weird, this is wrong, I'm not sure anymore. It was, I'm doing this, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So that shifted. I asked Maddie to get in the pool probably about 4:30, quarter to 5-ish. I was like, I need you to squeeze my hips. And I rocked and I roared and I was like, my hip hurts. My right hip kept hurting. And Terry would just come in with a prompt of, just bring your leg up. And I was like, oh, okay, it's gone. And then different positions, we tried different positions in the bath. It was like, okay, let's squat. Let's bring this leg up. She pushed on my leg for a bit. Matt drew my leg back for a bit. I was on my side. There was lots of movement. But because you're in water, it's just so easy to do. You just roll around and, you know, found things that worked and then didn't work. And then it was like, we should go to the toilet soon. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to try and do a wee. Let's do that. So they're like, okay, just wait until you've had your next surge because you're due one soon. Like, and I was like, okay, got me out, sorted me out. I had another surge and I just dropped to the ground and everyone just grabbed me. Like they held me. Like, I just remember feeling surrounded and held and safe. And I had a surge and I was like, okay, let's go. Went out and sat on the toilet, did a wee, and then I bared down on the toilet. But I do remember thinking, I don't want to be on the toilet because this is what happened with Bon. I bared down on the toilet. She shifted. That's when her position changed and things didn't go very well. So I definitely still had that not trauma, but that in my mind.
But awareness.
Yeah, that it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right for me to be sitting there like that. It wasn't what I needed or what I wanted. So I was like, nah, I don't want this. So I got on the floor and Maddie was in there with me and I got on the floor and I was like, I just need to be on the floor, get me off the toilet. And he was like, okay, and tried to drag me down and get out of the way because it was a small toilet. We were in the smaller main toilet. Got out, had my surges, was on my knees and then was like, I'm kind of faint. I don't feel good. I just need to lay down. I just laid into him for a second. And then I was like, oh no, I'm okay. I'm good. I can do this. I can do this. And I looked at him and I said, I can do this. And he goes, yeah, you can do this. You can do this. And I was like, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired. This is so intense. Why is this baby making you work so hard? I said to him. And they all laughed and they're like, it's third baby's babe. And I was like, no, I know. I looked at my mum, was like, you can do it. I was like, I can do it. I can do it. And then, yeah, but on the tiles, I was like, nah, this is just not working. And they're like, the media room set up. If we go there, I lean on the couch. And I was like, yeah, take me there. So they helped me up and I got to the media room. And I laid against the couch and I did some lunges into the couch back and forth. And I was like, I'm just so tired, mum. And she's like, but that means you're nearly there, baby. You can do this. And I was like, I know baby's coming. I know it's happening. I know. I feel like this. We did this with Robbie. I did this with Robbie. I know it's okay. Because I felt with Robbie that he was stuck.
Mm.
Because I felt like I knew where he was, but I was like, he's just not moving. He's stuck. And I was like, you did this with Robbie. Baby's not stuck. You can do this. You just need to keep moving your body. Baby will shift. And I laid on the floor and I was like, I just want to go to bed. I don't want to do this. I laid on the floor and then I had a surge and I was like, get me up. This fucking hurt. So Matt like reefed me back up and I leaned over the couch and I was like, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And I remember rocking and had my one leg up, have a surge, do one leg, put it back down, do the other side. And then pop, my waters went.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that was my water. And then he shifted and I was like, I want him in the bath. And they were like, right there, let's go. She's coming in hot. They're going. And I don't remember who, but I couldn't get off the floor. My legs did not work. And I was scooped up and brought across the hallway into the room. And I got to the bathroom. I said, lift my leg and put me in. I just couldn't. I had nothing left with me. Someone flicked my leg over and I remember rolling on my belly down the side of the pool to get into the pool because I was like, just get me in. And I was like, yeah, I can do this. And I remember he was just in that spot where I just went, this is it. I've gotten to the point. I've done it. This is happening. And I was like, you can do this. You can do this. Breathe it out. This is the hard bit, but this is the shortest part of it. And it's going to be over soon. This beautiful baby's going to be here. You can do this. And I had a lot of this self-talk in my head to keep myself going and using my previous labors to remind myself of where I was at and that I could do this. And this was the shortest point. And yep, it's going to hurt, but you got this, you know, breathe him out slowly, slowly, slowly. So I remember feeling him shift and move. And I put my hand there and I was like, oh, I feel like he's in my bum. Like it was like, he's right there, but I can't feel him yet. And then had a few more and I breathed him out this time. Whereas with Robbie, I pushed and like brought him down forcefully and then breathed him out, that part. But this one, I breathed him out the whole time. I was breathing down and breathing down. And then I felt him there. And I was like, I can feel him. I can feel it. And that was like, just breathe. Put your hand there and breathe his head out. And I was like, he's there. I can feel his head. He's there. And he was like, you got this. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And I was like, okay. And I was breathing and I could feel him go up and down. So when the surge was there, I breathed down. And when it wasn't, I can feel him go back up. And I was like, this is what it's supposed to be. This is, and I could see in my head where I was at because I had my hand there. I could feel him. And with Robbie, I was told in water, don't touch them. So I feel like the difference between that and him was I could feel where I was at because I could feel baby's head. So I could see that.
Yeah.
And I knew I was safe and I knew where I was and that baby was coming. And I just, it felt so different. It was so much pressure. But there was no burning. There was no fear. There was no screaming and swearing because I yelled and I screamed and I swore with because I was like, it's taking so long and hurts so much. But with George, I knew where he was. Like I could feel more and more of his head. And the video I have is amazing. You just see my hand on my baby's head and I'm like, I'm rubbing his head. I'm like, I can feel this. This is his head. Like my baby's here. I'm the first one to touch my baby in between, you know, being in the womb and world kind of thing. It was just such a cool experience. And Maddie just kept saying, just breathe and guide him with your head, guide him with your head. You can do this. Just keep breathing. And I could feel, and I was breathing and breathing very slowly. And it was like, keep. So I kept pushing on his head to kind of guide him slowly. And then we get to a point where I can hold his head. And I'm like, okay, I know where I'm at. And mum's like, "You're doing a beautiful job. It's beautiful, Nick." And the midwife's like, "We can see the eyebrows." Like, she was giving me a heads up and, you know, slight stinging here. And I didn't feel the sting. I just felt the pressure and I felt in control and I felt it was just me and my baby. Like, it was the coolest thing. And then, yeah, breathe him out. And then she just wanted me to give a little push to get his chin out so she could see where they are. Apparently, if they have the chin out, they can see if there's any like shoulders stuck or anything like that. That's a point that they like to see. So I gave a little bit and his chin popped. And then she goes, "Okay, baby's going to turn." And he just went, and I was like, "Whoop," because I was still trying to like slowly guide him out. But he turned and just came out. And I was like, "Whoop." And I then had one more bear down and then he came out and my mum got to push him under between my legs. So in the video, you can see Terry and mum talking about, "Do you want to touch baby?" She's going to, because she's leaning forward, she's going to need someone to give baby a push. "Do you want to be the one to do that?" Like, "I don't have to do that." And my mum was like, "Yeah." Because Maddie was in front of me. So like she was the next one that I would like to have touch baby first. So she was super excited. But you can see in the video, because obviously his shoulders come out and he drops, but his bum and legs are still in there. And mum goes to put her hand there and Terry's like, "Not yet, not yet." And then baby comes out and she goes, "Now." And she pushes him through. And I remember just picking baby up and bringing him up and being like, "Oh my God, I did it." Mm-hmm. And like I scooped baby up. I helped baby. He didn't cry to start with. I didn't even notice. Like I just look around at everyone around the pool and I'm like, I did it. Oh my God. And because I grabbed him, I was like, "That doesn't feel like a girl." And I was like, "Don't look yet, because Bon's going to be the one to check." And I looked around and I said, "Where's Bonnie?" And mum leaves the room and brings Robbie back. And because Robbie's big thing was, he's 2.5. He was like, "They keep telling me mummy's going to get the pool and the baby's going to come out. Like, that's what needs to happen." And he kept telling me to do that while the pool was set up the week before. And he comes in and mum goes, "Buddy, there's a baby." And he just looks shocked. He's like, "Oh, like that's what you've all been talking about." And then they ring Bon in and she's just like, she's so excited. And I'm like, "Hey, ready to see if it's a boy or a girl?" And I lift his leg and I'm like, "Oh my God, it's a boy." And we're all like, "Oh my God, it's a boy." I'm like, "What the hell?" And even by that point, he haven't cried. No one's panicked. And you see Terry come in and she goes, just blow on your baby. Talk to your baby. And I sit him up and she's like, "Just blow on his face." Like she's talking me through how to do it. She's not grabbed my baby off me. She's not touched him or intervened. She's just told me to hold him up and said what to do. Anyway, got him to cry and she's like, "Okay, get him to cry again." And she's just talking me through it. Matt's in the spot there. They let Bond through. She's not pushing anyone out of the way. She's just standing there. She's like, "I'm just checking this." And she's telling me what she's doing. "I'm checking this. He's got a good heart rate. He's got breathing's good. He's just very mucousy. He's okay. You're okay." And I say, "Oh, do you need me to get out?" And she said, "All good. Just keep doing this. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's move him." So she helps me like reposition him a few times. And then I am like, "Oh, I'm uncomfortable again. I've got some surges." And she goes, "Is that placenta coming?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think so." And this is 8 minutes later, this placenta's born. So I've got the baby on the other side and I'm trying to sort him out. And then I just guide my placenta out and mum has the bowl and I put it in. And I remember like feeling the umbilical cord and I was like, "I didn't get this for the others. Like, this is amazing." And, you know, she was suctioning with this little thing and she was like, "I'm just going to do this. I'm not going to do oxygen on him. I'm just going to do air. And what I'm trying to do is inflate his lungs so he brings up this mucus." Like, there was trying to talk me through what was happening. And, she was like, "We just need to bring it up. So when he coughs it out, just scoop it out." She's gone. And she was talking me through it. And I was like, "Is it easier if I just get out?" She's like, "No, if you're comfortable here, we're staying here." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And there was no rush to get me out. And I remember the cord pulsed for ages after the placenta was out. And she like showed us where to touch to be like, "That's actually the cord pulsating. Like that's from baby." And then I was like, "Oh my God, feel this." And Casey got to feel it and mum got to feel it. And I think Andrew got to feel it as well. And Maddie, and I was like, "This is so cool." Like I loved it. I thought it was the coolest thing. And there was just no rush to anything. And I was like, "I think I want to get out." And they're like, "Okay, all good." Like there was no, "Oh, you should wait," or it was like, yep, no worries, let's go. And they helped me like pick up the container and they drive me and put a towel on me and they're like, where do you want to go? And I was like, oh, I'll just lay on the couch, that's fine. So I laid on the couch and they were still showing me, like, still trying to suction him. And they were like, this is something we're going to keep managing. He's okay. He's, you know, breathing's fine. This is good. That's good. If we can't quite get the mucus up, that's something that we might need to manage somewhere else. So they didn't even say we'd have to go to hospital. We need to transfer. It was just a heads up that everyone's okay now, but if we can't get it under control, then we need some help. And I was like, oh, please don't let that be the thing. Like, I've done this at home. I've done so well. Come on, baby. Like, join me here. Let's be okay. And yeah, it took maybe half an hour, maybe an hour to sort him out. And they were like happy with where he was at. And I laid on the couch and I was like, oh, I'm super uncomfortable now. Like, I need an ice pack, or like my bum hurts. Like, put the tens on because the afterbirth contractions were pretty intense with number three. And yeah, it kind of just got to the point where I was like, okay, I want to shower. And they're like, don't worry, let's go. So they're like, give Bubby to Matt. And I gave him to Maddie and went in for a shower. And my mother-in-law was like sorting out the shower because Bonnie just had a shower and washed her hand, put soap everywhere. So she was worried that I'd slip. So she was in there like rinsing everything. Mum followed me. I think both midwives kind of followed me and was chatting to me. And they're like, oh, if you'd like after your shower, if we can check you before you get dressed, that might be more comfortable because you're already... you're clean, you're ready to go, and then you can put your stuff on. I was like, yep, that's fine. And they're like, and try and do a wee while you're in there. And I was in the shower and I was chatting to Mom, I was chatting to the midwife. And I was like, it's just nice to be in my own shower. It's just, there was no rush on how long I could stand in the shower. There was like, you know, just don't make it too hot because you could feel faint. If you feel faint, just sit down. Like, let us know how you're feeling. And they just hung out, but I didn't feel like they were waiting or watching.
Mm.
So it was... we were just talking about how I was like, I'm just so proud of myself for the bushing stage. I felt him come in and out and I felt him come down, and I was so in tune with my baby as that was happening. And I was like, I can't believe it's a boy. Like, oh my God. So it was just, that was the part that I didn't get. So the birth was empowering and beautiful, but everyone took their time and was like, you know, they made my bed and they laid out some clothes for me. And I remember coming out and she was like, okay, like the bluey down. And I said, look, I've not been checked before without gas. I'm a bit worried about this. What are you going to do? Is this going to hurt? And she said, okay, we're going to talk you through it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to touch here and I'm going to let go. She said, bring your phone and we'll show you what we're doing and show you if there's anything there. We'll talk about what we can do. But if it hurts, we're going to stop. You're going to tell me how you're feeling. She said, when we get to certain parts, you might need to use some of your labor breathing. And Mum laid in the bed with me. And I just remember how gentle she was and how I didn't feel like I was being examined. I felt like she was just making sure I was okay, if that makes sense. It wasn't this medical thing like that was in the hospital. And she touched and she looked and she was like, yep, cool, cool, cool. Look, there is a small first degree there. And I started tearing up and she's like, but I, and she looked at the other midwife and she said, I wouldn't do anything with it. She said, if you can keep your legs together and keep everything clean, I think I'm happy if you're happy to leave this, but let us show you what we're talking about. And they're like, do you want to use the camera to see, or do you just want me to take a photo? I said, I'll just take a photo so I can see. And it's like this tiny little superficial thing. And they're like, you've done amazing. And I just burst into tears because I was like, I did it. I finally did it where I didn't have a big tear. I don't need to be repaired. I've done it. Like, I just felt so good. And then I got dressed and then they brought baby back in. And then the kids got into bed with us and were like rubbing his head and chatting. And we left him on the cord for a while. And then I said, oh, I think I'm ready to... because Robbie was doing flips on the bed. I had like baby on me, placenta in a bowl in between my legs. And I was like, I think I'm ready for him to be his own person. I said, can we cut the cord? And they're like, of course, like whatever you want kind of thing. And we had a little cord tie and she did the first couple of knots and then showed Maddie and said to Maddie, you need to tie it around this many times, blah, blah, blah. And then Bon was like right over his shoulder watching. And we said, do you want to help Daddy cut it? And she's like, yeah. So they like hold the scissors and they cut it together and they just move it. And they just so gently like put the umbilical cord in the bowl and then moved it. Like it wasn't put to the side or thrown away or. And she said to me, I think they did his checks first and they laid him on the bed and they explained everything, all the things they were looking for, all the things they were doing. And then the same thing happened with the placenta. Mm. So she laid the placenta out and the way she did it, like she didn't throw it round. So in hospital, they flick it round, They flip it over. I had photos taken of the placenta of the first two and then it's gone. It's medical waste. And it wasn't. It was part of me and she made it part of me and my baby. And she explained all the things in it and what it all meant and what the different sacs were and, you know, oh, I can see that you were sick during this pregnancy because it's got this and this is the part that was embedded in you and this is where baby was and your placenta is actually quite big and it's a nice, big, healthy placenta she's going. And it was just the coolest thing to, like, it was the whole thing.
Mm.
And people bringing me food and tucking me into bed and there was so much time for me and, you know, I could talk to them about how proud I was with parts and how I thought it was hard. And we were debriefing as things were happening and as I was showering and as I was sitting in the bath, like, you know, the kids came in and out during and, you know, my mother-in-law got to be part of it. She's got two boys and I thought it was really special to invite her into our space and she was just forever grateful for it. And I just love that she could be there. All of it was just so healing and so beautiful. I was like, I was a person the whole time. It was never like, oh, we've been here since 4, we need to go soon, or we've been here, it's been 4 hours since birth, we're going to go. Like none of that. It was not time. You know, they put loads of washing on when they're done and they pack everything up and you wouldn't even know you've given birth. It's just happened normally. It's just so cool. And like even like they bagged the placenta and they asked us because we were going to bury it. That was our thing. We're burying it under our mandarin tree. That was for our angel babies, the two babies we've lost. Mm. That's our tree for them. So planting the placenta was just a big thing and a big emotional thing for us to have that part of our angel babies and to be that kind of cycle of like ending and closure. And yeah, I was like, even the way like they just pull it out and they put it in a bag, but it's not just wrapped up and here you go. Or it just the way they handled it, even like they pick it up so gently and ask you what you need. And I just felt held and supported and loved. There was never a time where I felt like I had to hide or pretend or be or feel something that I didn't want to be or feel. Everyone just let me be how I needed to be.
It's
amazing.
And that's the piece you were looking for, right? That's what was missing in the other experiences, was being treated as a human, held, loved, and supported. Yep. I want to just thank you for sharing all of your story and for taking us on the journey, because it really was a journey.
Yeah.
It didn't happen in a moment. It happened in a series of moments.
Yes.
And I've said this to you before, but, you know, the journey you went on is a testament to how much you cherish and love your family. And it wasn't a selfish thing to do. It was about love for yourself, but also for them and wanting to show up as a mother because of the journey that you went on in the way that you wanted to show up as a mother. So thank you. And thank you for sharing. I'm sure that people will gain a lot from hearing your story.
I hope so.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us and for listening. And we might do a follow-up of the postpartum and see how that goes over the next few weeks and just extend on the story. We'll look at that. But thank you for being with us. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.